Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on a Monday morning. Hope everyone's having a nice one out there. Excited to see maybe a little sunshine later on today. Joe, how's it going?
Doing good. You know, ready to kick off another week on this Monday morning. It was a warm weekend for January.
Yeah, for January. I mean, it's been a warm month.
Yeah.
For January, right?
Yeah. I walked outside Saturday morning and in shorts, thinking it was going to hit me. I enjoyed it. I think that's the positives of living in Western New York is when it hits 40, you feel warm. It hits 60 in Florida, you're wearing a hoodie.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
See, positive vibes.
I'm right there with you. All right. So the football games yesterday, the Chiefs are going in. I was, you know, everyone said, you're crazy. Everyone disagreed with me on rooting for the Chiefs on Sunday to win, but
you convinced me. You brought me over.
Don't you feel better as a Bills fan that the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl?
Yes. Opposed to the Ravens.
Opposed to the Ravens. Yeah. Like, if the Ravens won that game, everyone would be talking. Lamar Jackson, like, great. Everyone would be saying he's better than Josh Allen. Like,
everyone's being critical of Lamar now.
They just beat the team that the Bills can never beat in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, just all that stuff. You don't get any of it today.
Right.
Instead, it's just, oh, it's the Chiefs again. Like, some people are sick of the Chiefs. I don't care. Like, we were too young, kind of. People weren't saying anything because there was no social media.
That's right.
So they shut it and sit in their living rooms.
Yeah.
But like Michael Jordan and the Bulls, who everyone loves.
Yeah.
Like everyone universally loves Michael Jordan, thinks back to the Bulls like, oh, wow, what a great team. When that was going on, were people just saying, oh, you know, I can't stand this guy. Him again, this team, ugh.
Well, Knicks fans, because the Knicks believes that if it wasn't for the Bulls, they would have had a championship in the 90s. The Knicks were like the Buffalo Bills, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it weren't for the Bulls, they probably would have had that championship in the 90s.
But I don't recall a lot of people just saying, like, oh, this is the worst. I remember at the time, everyone, you know, really celebrating it.
Yeah, well, the NBA would like to have those 90s right? Bulls back. It was great for TV.
But, like, that's what the Chiefs are now, and that's the whole, like, think the Chiefs beat the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Ravens on the way to the Super Bowl, and they'd have to beat if they win the Super Bowl, they would beat the four teams that everyone said all year, these are the four best teams.
Yep.
In the league. So, I mean, it would be deserved. It would be another, like, I'm sorry, I think it makes it all that much sweeter when hopefully one day we do beat the Chiefs in the playoffs if we're beating the team that's won, you know, now three Super Bowls, been in the Super Bowl all the time. They are the undisputed best team in the NFL over the last decade. So,
yeah. With that said, I would like to see Brock Purdy win a Super Bowl. I understand the argument, but I just think it's a cool story, and I'd like to see it
once
continue.
Once it gets to the Super Bowl, like, either way, I don't care too much. Like, I could take it either way.
I'm excited for Usher.
Oh, that's a halftime show.
Yeah.
I
know. You're not a fan. I three decades of hits, I can't wait.
You really bought into that promo.
Oh, did they say that in the promo?
I think so.
I thought I came up with that myself.
30 years in the making or something like that.
There was a movie on VH1 over the weekend that he's in from the 90s. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Usher was in the movie She's All That, and he's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Will Taylor Swift be at the Super Bowl?
I think so. And I saw a tweet that showed how she will be.
You sent me this tweet. It's laughable to me. It's so funny. So she is touring Japan.
Yes.
Starting, what, later this week or next week or something like that? Either way, while the Super Bowl is going on, she's in Japan. And this is really the reason why. It's not because they're showing her on TV all the time. Like, this is the reason why you have people complaining about Taylor Swift. It has nothing to do with, like, oh, I can't stand her face. I hate her music or anything. No, it's that you have this person who from everything we know, is not ever thought about football at all.
Right.
All of a sudden becoming the world's biggest Kansas City Chiefs fan 3 months before they make the Super Bowl. Like, yeah. That's the problem. It's, you know, all of us here, you could have your Lions fans over there who've never won anything. You've been fans all your life. You got red, white, and blue area rugs in every single room. You know, all the stuff. You're out there every Sunday. You're freezing your butts off. You're shoveling the stadium.
That's right.
And then someone comes along, decides they're a football fan, goes to every game, and gets to go to the Super Bowl. Like, that's what people are a little ticked off about, I think.
I'll tell you who's even more upset. Kansas City's mascot. Because they have just completely taken the back seat to Taylor Swift.
Oh, I thought that was Taylor Swift.
Yes, exactly.
I thought we were talking about the same person. No, but you sent me this tweet, and I just love the way it's worded. Oh, Taylor Swift can easily make Super Bowl 58. She has a concert in Tokyo on Saturday, 6 p.m. local time. And then you just get off the stage and take a 12-hour flight from Tokyo to Las Vegas. And then you arrive at 8 a.m. Sunday if you leave right after the show ends. And then, boom, you're there for kickoff. And then you just have to take a 12-hour flight back to Japan right after and perform another, what, how long are those shows? 3-4 hour long shows? Yeah, easily. That's exactly how I describe easily, too. Like, but, what do you, give me a break.
You know, I follow a lot of sports accounts on Twitter. The amount of times I saw this retweeted, now this is a tweet from October. Someone came up with this in October. I saw this retweeted numerous times yesterday after the Kansas City game. I think, Brian, exactly what you said. This is probably where what's getting under people's skin. Just a little bit.
Well, it's the easy part is hilarious, but that's the part. It's obviously not a football fan, or else you wouldn't have had a concert in Tokyo when the Super
Bowl was going on. Exactly, come
on. But anyway, so that's I think Bills fans are probably feeling a lot better than if the Ravens won yesterday.
Yeah,
I think the feeling is better, especially given, you know, what they scored 10 points.
Ten
the Ravens.
Like, that's right.
Jeez,
no one like you said, no one's saying that Lamar Jackson's better than Josh Allen today.
No, that's definitely true. Nobody is saying that. All right, just so that, you know, we'll see that in a couple weeks. I think it's a good matchup. Excited to watch the Super Bowl, as I, you know, as we do every year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The Super Bowl, always fun. I like playing. Sometimes when I do my seasons or my franchise on Madden, I like to play in the Super Bowl. Brian, over the weekend, we got some devastating news for fans like me. Xbox, Microsoft has completely laid off the physical media department. So that's hinting that Xbox will no longer be making physical games after this year of gaming.
My thoughts and prayers go out to you, Joe.
I like it. I mean, now everything's available in a digital library. Like, I'm the kind of nerd that likes to go back and play Madden 18 for, you know, for some reason, or MLB The Show. I like the older MLB The Show is better. I like to be able to go back and play that. Or play an Xbox 360 game that I found at GameStop for $5. I like having those options. I mean, they're literally getting rid of that now. And so what happens? Like, when Madden 25 comes out and Madden 24 is no longer available in the library, it's just going to disappear from your system? Like, the cool thing about gaming for me is to go back and play old games. Well, now those old games aren't going to be as easy to find because they will disappear after a while in the library. So that's my rant. I've been waiting all week.
Thoughts and prayers.
I've been waiting all week. I was actually going to do a segment on this on Hardline yesterday, but there wasn't the opening.
I'm amazed that there wasn't the opening. Joe, physical media that will never go out of style. A book.
Yeah.
I
like books. To look at.
It's one of those. I don't know. This is the nice thing. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I do not have time to be playing an entire baseball game on the TV.
You don't play the entire baseball. You just play when your turn's up. You make a picture. You make a run to the show. You're the pitcher, and you only play when you're pitching.
Do people have Super Bowl parties as much around here anymore? Since the Bills have been good, has that kind of fallen out of favor a little bit?
Because you don't want to plan anything?
Well, I'm just like, you have parties for the Bills. You're excited for the Bills to be in the Super Bowl.
And then when they're not.
When it's not the Bills, like, are you still having the big, right, everyone to have a big Super Bowl party for the Super Bowl? You'd be going over to somebody's house.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard. Now, that could also be in, like, the age bracket that I'm in. So when the Bills weren't doing so good, under 30. And, you know, everyone's looking for something to do. since the Bills have been good, you know, over 30, people start to have kids. You start, but still, I remember when I was younger going out to Super Bowl parties. Maybe that was like the Super Bowl hangover. Maybe one of those was a Bills Super Bowl. I just am too young to remember it, right? Yeah. Like at the time. I feel like it's fallen out of favor a little bit since the Bills have been good.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't gone to a Super Bowl party in years.
But I used to go out for the Super Bowl every single year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to.
Everyone always had something going on. I can't remember the last time someone said, hey, Super Bowl, let's do this.
But I think age might play into that because when I always needed something to do for the Super Bowl was the same time in my life when I always needed something to do on New Year's Eve. Now I don't go looking for things to do on either of those days. So is it the Bills hype or is it I'm 35 and I just want to watch this on my couch?
I think it's the Bills thing. I mean, like, it's Super Bowl was just all ages. I mean, it was everybody. Kids were, I mean, just somebody's house for the Super Bowl. It's not like you're having some like crazy all night raging party.
Oh.
You're there to,
you know, I was always looking
watch
for.
The game. I just feel like there's less of those since the Bills were. Anyway.
Also, like, you know, in the tens, we also felt watching the Super Bowl. I remember watching going, well, the Bills will never be in this. You know, and now it's like, the Bills could have been in this. That's what I'm yelling at my TV. Yeah. The Bills should be there.
Maybe that's like you're just worn out from football parties.
Yeah.
You're partying
all season.
All year long. All right. Anyways, 9:19, and we're moving on to something. I saw this story this morning in the Buffalo News, Joe. And, you know, at first I was kind of curious because it's something to me that, you know, listen, when my kids are in school, if they're playing sports, when they're middle school, high school age, you know, I'll care about them and their team and how it's going. And that'll last for precisely the amount of time that my kids are on the team. And then I think on social media, like my old high school soccer team, I hate to say, I'm not emotionally invested at all in how they could lose every game. They could win every game. I still like them. You know, like it's great. That's where I played soccer. I'm not following along. I think
that's the majority of people.
I don't have any sort of investment in high school sports. So I clicked on this story because I thought it was strange that it was one of the top stories on the website of the Buffalo News this morning. But then as I'm reading along, it kind of made sense to me. And it brings up a greater issue that I'd like to hear from some people on. 803-0930 if you want to join us throughout the morning. Williamsville North and St. Mary's both making mid-season coaching changes in girls basketball. So I'm reading this, and again, I'm like immediately, why am I reading this again? Like, what's but I am intrigued because a mid-season coaching change, like what's going on here? So you read the story, and Bill Shaw at Williamsville North had coached for 40 years, has been there for about a decade, out as the coach, and you have another coach at St. Mary's, Anthony Adamano. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Which began a few years ago, out as the coach. Like, what is happening here? And as you read along, you have this kind of eye-opening quote from Cardinal O'Hara's coach, who said, I have nothing but respect. I think they're two great gentlemen and coaches. I don't know what's going on in high school sports with all of these coaches out for what's been done for the last 30 years in basketball. You have to motivate your players and talk to them at halftime. If people are being let go for that, then people like me can't coach in high school sports. That's the Cardinal O'Hara coach who's quoted in this article. And then it starts to all come together, you know, like why this is a story on the front page of the news. Because from the sounds of it and this story, these two high school coaches were let go because of a couple of things. Either parent complaints and parental involvement and input, or being a little too hard on the players. And, you know, I kind of want to put too hard in quotation marks because what does that mean? Ask 100 people, get 100 different answers, yes. Right? You know, it's who knows. It's kind of an abstract what too hard is. But they're out. They're blaming, again, I don't want to say they in particular because they're not quoted in this article. But the article says complaints from parents, a common issue for all coaches across all sports in high school. This coach who was quoted says, I've had parents that have talked to the principal about me. Mm. My administration's always backed me, but parents now come to me to hash it out, and I give them my reasons. I am not surprised to see this there, but I want to kind of get a sense of the tone of high school sports and what is and isn't appropriate for a parent being involved to this extent when it comes to maybe interfering in coaching. And what is the level of motivation you want from a high school coach? 803-0930. But Joe, I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we talked about this off air, Brian, and I think we might see this just a little differently. I think high school sports is when you kind of finally break away from youth sports, right? You know, it's not junior varsity. It's not modified. You do have players on these teams that are playing for a scholarship. Now, why do I say that? I think, you know, if you're down 15 points at halftime, it's not going to be, hey, you played well out there, you know, just keep giving it your best. It's going to be, what the hell's going on? You're not covering this person, and you might have the coach raising their voice. I remember a time, a halftime of a game where my lacrosse team we blew a ten goal lead, and our coach, might have spilled the jug of water, and I had to sit in that water until the speech was over because he was telling us what happened. Now, did we go back out there and win? No, but the motivation was there, right? And I think at the high school level, that's what you expect. It's no longer, the score doesn't matter. Just go out there again. No, it's, hey, we need to adjust something. We're getting our you-know-what's kicked, and you're not covering this person. I'm putting you on the bench.
So that's where I disagree with you a little bit. And it's where I think it's particularly very difficult to be a coach at this level. It's probably now in the modern age difficult to be a coach at any level, but especially at high school level because of what you just said, and that might be true for some people.
Yeah.
But you are balancing on a given team. And right, what do we hear about? You know, football, it really goes across sports. Some sports might be more competitive than others. I feel like, for some reason, I feel like girls' basketball in high school is, like, super competitive. And you have a lot of athletes there who are very competitive and are really into the game and kind of act the same way that you're talking, Joe. But across all, what do we see in football program? They're begging for kids just to come out and try and put on the pads. Like, the engagement level is, if you talk to anybody involved in the high school sports, is as low as it's ever been. So you are trying to coach a team, Joe, who might have people who you're talking about who are thinking, I love this game. This is serious business. I'm trying to go and get a college scholarship somewhere or be invited to, you know, maybe it's not a scholarship at the D3 level, but be invited to go and play at that next level. And on the same team, you have people who just like, hey, look, I'm looking to get out of the house. I'm looking to stay a little active. It's kind of fun. I always used to joke about me in high school, Joe, you know, it's not like I didn't give it my all. My all was not that great. I was in it for the tracksuit. That's my,
Same here.
I like to, have that. It was fun being a part of the team. I thought I was a great bench guy. But you have, like, you have the whole spectrum of kids that you have to try and communicate with. And I think that's such a tough job, nearly impossible. How do you go about and do it?
But if you're an athlete at the high school level or a parent of an athlete, you do have to realize, as does the coach, but so do the players on that team have to realize what you're talking about, that you have the kids there that are thinking, hey, I could be a D1, a D2 athlete. And then you have players like you and me that are like, I'm just here to play.
Yeah,
you know.
You're running the spectrum. And it's,
so it's more
really
than just the coach that needs to know that. I think everyone involved needs to know.
Sure.
Who's involved.
But it's one of the only levels where that's kind of true, though.
Yes.
And it's one of the only places, you know, high school sports specifically. You know, we're not talking about the high-level travel hockey teams that are very clearly people who are serious about, or some of these basketball camps that run the off. No, this is high school sports. You know, it's the definition of everyone come and at least try out to play. Yeah. It's open for the community. What do you think? If you're with us, sorry, we have to take a break, and we'll get to you right after. News with Lucas, how should it look like coaching in high school athletics after this story this morning? Two coaches out in girls basketball locally. 927 BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
We're back here, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN, talking about a story. It was in the Buffalo News this morning about two high school girls basketball coaches out at St. Mary's at Williamsville North. No longer a coaching change mid-season. And from reading the article, you know, doesn't have a lot of specifics. They no comments from the school, of course, no comment from the two coaches. They did talk to one high school coach, though, and the way it makes it seem is that these coaches are out because of parent complaints and maybe being, you know, a little quote-unquote too hard on the athletes. And so we're kind of curious this morning. We want to know from you, 803-0930. What does that mean? Is high school coaching like the hardest job you could possibly have? I think it's up there. It's like it's a thankless job that you have to deal with all this stuff. You're dealing with the whole spectrum of kids who are either super motivated or not motivated, like only there because they were told they have to do a sport. And you have what's success? What's success again? Like in high school, people are going to measure it different ways.
A championship.
Wins and losses. Is it kids going on to kids having good grades who might not have? Is it everyone's involved in having a good time playing? Like, you're going to measure success differently. If you ask different people, you're going to measure this and that. To me, it's just kind of one of these crazy things you have to really be a saint to sign yourself up for.
And on top of all that, the focus and the possible pressuring from parents. And has that changed? Has parents trying to influence the coach, has that changed over the last decade or so? I mean, I remember when I played peewee football, and there was a parent who'd always yell at the coach that his kid wasn't on the field. Now, I know that's always been there, but about the tone of the coach, has that kind of criticism increased over the last decade or so?
Well, what do you say? What do you think about this? 803-0930. We'll go to the phones on line one. Who are we talking to?
I don't want to give you my name if that's who I'm speaking with.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I just want to set the record straight. The situation with I don't know anything about the Will Norris situation, but the situation at St. Mary's is definitely not about kids not being tough enough or parents freaking out because of what was said. This is a culmination of probably a few years of just in trying to be nice to Mr. Adovano, just some bad leadership. There's just certain things you can do. There are certain things you can't do. And I think I can just say from my own experiences, I've had daughters on the team that this isn't about a toughness situation. This isn't about somebody said something stupid or anything like that. It may have culminated with that. It's sad that Mr. O'Neill from Paranoid Era would kind of allude to that. You know, they have their own issues there. Every team has their own issues. But this is more a factor of many years of just some bad decision-making. And I applaud the school for making the decision when they did. Not easy to do. I don't think every parent was 100% on board, but I do think that the majority of the parents were, this needs to happen, and it needs to happen now. And that says something.
So if it was years of bad decision, you say what it's not. What was it? What was the bad decision, and why was it a mid-season firing instead of off-season firing? If this has been years in the making,
I think the first thing you have to look at is you start the season with eight kids on the team, two of them don't play at all. I barely puts them in the game, so you're playing with six kids. That becomes very tenuous. It's a situation where you're still winning games because the girls who are on the team are very competitive. And then it becomes situations where you expect different outcomes after kids get beat up in games, after kids get tired. There's kids who should be playing who are walking the hallways in St. Mary's that aren't playing. There's kids who have left the school totally who should be there playing. And it's all a direct result of his leadership or lack thereof. That's hard to say. That's very hard to say. I've coached, I've reffed, my wife coaches, all of those things. This isn't an easy situation. it's just a situation that got to the point where it unfortunately needed to happen.
You say you've coached, your wife coaches. I'm sitting here just kind of coming from, you know, an outsider's perspective saying I think it has to be the toughest job because you're managing on a team of, you know, let's say 13 people. You could be having 13 different expectations of what these kids are hoping to get out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do you go about, you know, trying to make everybody get at least something out of it?
Well, and that's the tough part. And so what ends up happening is you're never going to please everybody. And I don't think that that's what I think everybody needs to know about this situation is it's not a situation where one person's upset. In a situation coaching, and I can specifically speak for my wife in this situation, there's a lot of times you don't like kids that you're coaching. That happens. Or you don't like their parents. Or their parents have chewed you out. And it becomes a situation where you have to be the adult in the room, and you have to say, I'm here for the kids. And if you're there for the kids, then you will always have the right outcome. Because if it starts to become about you or what your outcome of this wants it to be, or maybe a specific set of kids on the team or one kid in particular or maybe two kids in particular, you've lost it. That's when it becomes a slippery slope where you'll never get it back because parents see through that, kids see through that. I don't know of any girl who is 13 or 14 or 15 who you can BS time and time again. You know, especially if you're a guy who's not in education. And I think girls see through that. And I think it's an unfortunate situation. And it's bad for everybody.
Well, hey, appreciate the call, and thanks for giving us some insight there. I'm stuck on that part where I can't wrap my head around trying to, you know, on the other part, if you're, you know, Joe, you said, you know, I pose the question, you know, what's your, how do you measure success at it? And you just immediately said championships, you know, but when you're thinking about, right, like getting kids to come, you could have 50 kids come out on your team. You're also, it's not like, you know, at some of these private high schools, maybe it is a little bit different to what goes on behind the scenes. But, you know, in large part, you're dealing with what you have. You know, there's no recruiting. There's no making trades. There's no draft in the high school sports. You kind of have to go with the hand you're dealt. How tough should you be as a coach? Where do you find that middle ground of trying to make sure all the kids get something out of it, whether they're trying to play the sport at a higher level or in it for the exercise and the fun? I think it's a really tough question. There is a level of toughness, though, that I think is beneficial once you reach that level. And to me, it doesn't have anything to do with like, oh, it's high school now, you know, we care about winning. It has more to do with, you know, oh, you're 14, 15 now, like it's time to start teaching lessons for the real world.
Oh, for sure.
And I remember this going out for high school sports, and you had, you know, we didn't have a ton of kids going out for the soccer team. I think there were, you know, in JV, I think everyone who tried out, you know, you got put on the JV team. And then you move up to the varsity level, and I remember the day after the cuts were made, you know, they'd post the list on the wall. You'd have to ride your bike over and see who made the team. And I remember the coach saying something, that, and it always kind of stuck with me. And, you know, it was about, I don't want to say exactly what was said, but, you know, about there being some kids cut. And there was like a moment of, because like I said, I was not very good at sports or, you know, I didn't have much on the field.
Join the club.
But I made the team, and not everybody made the team. I made the team, and there is something that kind of like sinks in. It's like, all right, like at least I know I'm bringing something to the game. Or he sees some value in keeping me around that like kind of offered a little bit of self-motivation here. Like I got to keep doing what I'm doing here, even though I'm not going to be scoring a goal. I'm not going to be doing anything beneficial to you on the field. Like whatever it is I'm bringing in practice or something like that, I got to keep doing. So there is that level of toughness. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that it should be, well, you know, let everyone in, like a fun free-for-all necessarily. There should be a level there. I don't think it has to be a super high bar to clear, though.
I think you're like me. We were good in the locker room, right? I would get people like, hey, let's go. Let's go. I would yell things and play good music. But, Brian, I got cut from a team in ninth grade. I got cut from the basketball team, right? I didn't make it. I went out for the basketball team in ninth grade and did not make the cut. And you know what? Instead of get all sad about that, I said, okay, I'm going to try out for lacrosse. I'm going to get lacrosse equipment. I'm going to go out. I'm going to, you know, start running because you had to do a lot of running on the lacrosse team. And when I made that team, it was that sense of, like you said, accomplishment. And okay, here's the bar. I'm at it. Let's keep it there and let's make this team for the rest of the high school So that basketball, getting cut from basketball, taught me a lesson. Like, yeah, you don't get everything you want in life, but if you push hard enough, you can go find something that, you know, maybe you do fit in. And luckily for lacrosse, I was able to make it every year from then on.
Right. So there's a level to it,
yeah,
too. And it's going to be a different level, you know, no matter what sport you're on. I don't, you know, the lacrosse, was it easier to get on the lacrosse team?
Not the time. I mean, at the time, you're talking about a team that was always competing for sectionals.
Like, I can tell, like, for me, if I, it would be way easier when I was in high school for me to get on the soccer team than the basketball team.
Yeah.
Like, there's there was probably way more people who tried out for basketball. It's a smaller team.
Yeah, lacrosse carried more.
And there's probably a lot of kids who got cut. It's going to depend on what sport you're going out for. How many kids are coming out? You know, if we go to our text board, 803-0930, if you want to weigh in on this, you know, somebody was texting in, you play to win, don't try out if you're not serious. If you are in certain districts or running some teams, like depending on the sport that is, that's not going to get you far at all. Like, if you're only taking the most serious of serious kids who are into it at every snap, like just totally focused on the sport, guess what? That might work in some sports in some school districts. That's not going to be the approach that works everywhere.
No, but you do want some level of seriousness. You want someone who's going to take it seriously enough to where they're not getting kicked off the team halfway through because their grades are suffering. You want someone
sure.
who's at least going to take the motivation to have, you know, an average grade in class so they're not kicked off the team. That's a distraction to the team. There is a level of seriousness. I'm not saying it has to be, you know, we're not in college, we're not professional, but there does need to be a line of seriousness if you're going out for the team.
Sure, but you don't need to have, if you're on a team, whatever the sport, you lose a game, you don't need everyone on that team to be like, oh, a devastating loss, hanging your head in the locker. It just, life doesn't work that way. Like, I'm sorry, I know you're taught that if you grow up playing sports, you know, like, oh, you take the losses hard, like you should pour yourself into it. You know, you lost, be defeated. You're just not going to get that.
No, never hang your head.
But
that's what we were
taught.
But
do you kind of know what I'm saying
yeah.
here? Like, you're not going to have, not everyone is going to be heart and soul into this. This is my passion. This is the only thing going on in my life right now.
No, but losing sucks. Losing sucks in life. It doesn't have to be sports related. You know,
sure.
I mean, you do, it does teach you how to deal with failing and, you know, get better the next time around.
It could,
it
right?
Could.
It doesn't have to.
No, but it could, and you should take those lessons. Because life's not just going to be a joyride. Like, you're going to have to, some things you're going to suck at. Some things you're going to fail at.
I just think it's,
I do think sports teaches that.
It can, right? But
I think that's a lesson you should take from sports. Hey, you're not going to be good at everything, and sometimes you're going to suck.
I think that's how people like to glorify sports a lot. Like, oh, we have to, this is what teaches you how to succeed or fail in life, is if you don't play football care about the outcome, you're, you know, if you're smiling after losing 96-3 on the field, you're just going to be a failure in life. Like, people love to do that. I just think it's all a load of,
You should find something when you're in high school to get reality that, you know, life's not always wins.
Okay, but
sports can be an outlet.
It can be.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, even if you're playing it. It
doesn't have to be, but it can be. You know, I ran cross country. I sucked. What did I learn? Well, Joe, you're not always going to be the fastest anything.
No, but I don't think you can, at the same time, you can't be the person who is complaining about kids just wanting to stare at their phones all day and at the same time say, oh, no, we only want people who are dedicated to winning on this team. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think you have to go that far. I do think there needs to be a line of seriousness that, like, you want to be there.
The line of seriousness, though, is
you want to be there.
Try.
Yeah.
Treat yourself and your teammates with respect, and that is in part trying, you know, give a serious effort. Outside of that, and, you know, depending on the team and the school that you're in, your serious effort, I'm sorry, might not be good enough. If you're a basketball team that has a bench of 16 and you're number 25 right on the tryout sheet, your best might not be good enough, but that's like the baseline there. Outside of that, I don't think you can run a team expecting everybody to act like this is a life or death scenario.
Well, no. You should also learn that in high school. It's not life or death. You know, but you want, you know, a step up from when I got kicked off of youth baseball because I was too much of a clown. You want to step up from that at high school. But no, you're right. I mean, it's a different level. And like you
said, how much of a clown do you have to be to get kicked out of the Little League team?
The coach came to my parents' house and said, you know, here's your refund. We don't want your son playing.
Jeez. Because if I remember the Little League dugout, I mean, the whole thing was seeing how long you can get your string of spit before it touches the dirt. And we were all just fine.
Again, I'm not one to make excuses for myself. I think this guy may have been a little too serious to be coaching a bunch of 8-year-olds.
How much gum can you fit in your mouth at one time?
Yeah.
Like, that was the...
But apparently, you know, so I learned at a very young age that, you know, you're not going to make every team you go out for, and sometimes your parents will get their money back. no, but like I said, there's that line of seriousness, and again, you are gonna have players on those team on the team that's, you know, devastating loss. But it's not everybody. That certainly wasn't me. But you know, learn a lesson in practice the next day, get better. But that's just
I don't know. I read this article this morning, and it just kind of put that back in my mind that I just think it is a job I just would never want. And honestly, it probably bleeds down way earlier than, I mean, you hear the horror stories, right? Way earlier than high school.
Yes.
And like the grade school levels where you have like parents who are insane. And I just would never want to deal with it. Like being a youth sports coach. But I think it is especially hard in high school. Just all the different things you have to deal with. I mean, you have a team full of teenagers, first off. Like you never know what you're going to get day to day. But to be able to bring together a group that likely runs the spectrum of trying to get a college scholarship to parents made you get out of the house. It's very impressive to me that, you know, some coaches are able to do it successfully over a long period of time.
And you've got to be able to focus on all of them, right? I mean, you want to give that kid that wants to get the scholarship the fair shot. And give them everything they need, but you also want the person who maybe just made the team, right? They're that last. They were right there. Maybe you were taking 20 teammates, and they were 20th, right? They just made it. But you also want them to be a part of the team and be useful where they are. Yeah, it's. I would never be a coach of anything, but definitely the high school level. I don't think I could handle it.
I don't know. It's.
But that's me. And by the way, I didn't make basketball because of my defense. I actually hit shots. I just couldn't play defense, which is part of the game.
Yeah, I never tried. I just knew that was a lost cause from
the coach brought me
from the get-go.
So I went to the
You're
sheet.
Tall, though, so that would...
I was good under the basket. I could get rebounds, and I could shoot the ball. But Brian...
They looked at that Little League record. They're like, there's some questions about his past.
They called my baseball coach. But no, he came... I can still remember the conversation. He goes, Joe, you can't play defense. Every kid that you tried to defend was just running in circles around you.
Like, yeah. How do you play? I remember playing like Little League basketball one summer.
Right.
Well, you couldn't do it. You couldn't touch anybody. Like, how do you play defense? I'd be trying to hip check somebody and they're like, oh, foul. Like, come on.
But you know what? I love the game of basketball. Don't get me wrong. But I am glad that I got cut. I'm glad I got that life lesson. And it pushed me to go out for lacrosse. And I had a lot of fun playing lacrosse. So it all worked out in the end.
Well, we'll be back here tomorrow.
We'll be back here tomorrow. David's next, after the news with Lucas on WBEN.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.